Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Bez Hashem, Shar Bitachin Shir number 44. We're in the sixth and final perek of the Chayvus Halavos. He talks about the mistake of a security mentality. What people have, they say that to Hashem, basically, in their minds, I'm willing to devote myself to service of Hashem, but I want to wait to see that if he guarantees me, you know, that he saves, that he has me, give me enough money or enough property to sure I have enough to live on for the rest of my life. And when I have that, that's when I'll serve Hashem well, right? Like a man who says that he would surely come to Shiurim, but I want to first make a big deal of money so I could retire earlier. So this is the idea of people that are willing to serve Hashem, but only on condition that they first make enough money, that they'll be able to have enough for the rest of their lives, or have that health for the rest of their lives, and so on and so forth. They want to, like, they make this bargaining aspect with Hashem. And I want to, the Chayvus Halavos says, I want to show the importance of exposing the foolishness and the falseness of this type of attitude. The Shiva and Yana Magalla Bahem Gaidal to Usam. I will reveal their error in seven different ways. Although it'll be extensive, but don't skip it. You know, the question is, you're going to say, what do I need this for? Certainly, I'm not going to wait until Hashem gives me enough money to do mitzvahs. But the Chayvus Halavos is saying here, no, listen to me. You have to have these seven arguments that you have to knock into your head. Why? Because these seven arguments put to shame and rebuke to those who have this attitude. Then kat balei hamishkaines. These are the people that have this security mentality. Mashkan means to have a security, to take a mashkan. They want a guarantee. They're telling Hashem, I want a guarantee. Put up a pledge, and then I'll serve you. You know, we may not word it that way, but that in our minds, we're thinking that way. Give me everything I need in the way I am on my terms, and then I'll serve you. And in Yonah Bezekin Yaseicher, so they act like a businessman with Hashem. Shumecha Bashroi sells merchandise on credit. Let me shame him Aminoi, because he doesn't trust him. So I don't trust him. Give me credit. Or put up a collateral. And he takes a pledge from him at the time of the sale, because you believe he's not trustworthy. And even if the client is honest, I'm taking my security anyway, because he may not be able to pay up. So, you know, if a buyer of an expensive item is not able to pay it right away, the seller will say, give me a gold watch as a security to make sure that you'll pay me. And that's how you're dealing with Hashem. You're telling Hashem, who can give you everything and anything at any time, and you're telling him, you want us to become devoted to your services? Give me a pledge first. Put down enough money for me that'll last for the rest of my life. So what's wrong with this logic? So we're going to go through seven different arguments. The first one is, there's no basis for a pledge at all. You know, you come to a bank asking for a loan. The banker says he's willing to lend you the money, but not all at once. He'll give it to you in three installments. Let's say the banker says that. You're not going to tell the banker, I want to make sure you keep your word, so give me some security that you'll give me the money. Why won't you ask them? It's because he has the upper hand. You need him. You need the banker to give you that loan. So if the banker says, I'm not willing to give it to you in one shot, I'm giving it to you in three installments, you deal with it. Same thing over here. Hashem has all the power. You're a mere mortal asking him to guarantee that he, Hashem, keeps his word. And if he decides you're not worthy, he could not do anything for you at all. So he has, quote unquote, the upper hand. Harisha me'ifene ha'tshuva alav, shenoy maloy, by saying to him, ato isha mestapik b'gzeres ha'bayrei, you doubt the power of Hashem's decree? You don't believe in the greatness of his might, that you question his ability to do things for you if you serve him? With the light of your intellect is so dark, the lamp of your understanding is so extinguished, because you're overcome with the darkness of desires. Your ambition to gain wealth darkened your mind and blocked you from that open, plain fact that Hashem has total power of you. So your outer attitude is perverted and not justified. When do you ask for a pledge? Yes, sometimes you need to take security from someone who's your friend or equal. Who has no control over you. And his command you don't have to keep. But if you're a hired worker, and hires himself out to work for people, it wouldn't be correct for him to ask for a pledge for his salary from his employer before he did the work. He's happy to get a job. Yeah, at times you're, let's say someone's very tight and just got a new job and his employer is a big bal tzedakah, you're going to ask him, please forward me a salary of a week so I could just keep up. You know, he may do that as a chesed. But he's not mechoyiv to do that. And you can't really expect him to do that. Happy you have a job. The employer doesn't have to hire him altogether. So a worker can't demand from an employer that I won't do any work unless you put down money for security that you'll pay me the salary at the end of the week. Or he doesn't tell his employer, you know, leave your gold watch with me to make sure you'll pay me at the end of the week. No. You ask for a pledge from someone over whom you have power, let's say a malva, that a lender that is giving a borrower money, then there's a concept of mashkin like the Gemara B'Metzia talks about often. If you're a servant, you're Eved Kanani or an Eved Ivri even, right? You're not going to ask your master for a guaranteed reward before you serve him. Certainly created being. We're created beings. From Hashem, he won't ask his creator for security before serving him. It would be surprising. A servant gives a master to be performed on a condition that the master pays him a reward. That's disgraceful. We should be willing to serve Hashem without any kind of pay at all. Of course, Hashem gives us schar. He gives us reward. He promises us that. Not that we should serve him because of it, but he does give it to us. But the concept is not to do that, though. K'mosha Amru, like the Gemara, like Pirkei Avos says, Perek Aleph Mishnah Gimel, Alti Kavadam Amsham Mishnah Esarava Amanasta Kabel Pras. Don't be like servants who serve their master on the condition of receiving a reward. Elahava Kavadam Amsham Mishnah Esarav Shaloyal Amakabes Pras. Be like servants who serve their master not for the sake of receiving a reward. And you would have the chutzpah, the audacity, to ask for a pledge for your livelihood before beginning to serve Hashem. The pasuk says this also, Halashem tigmalu zayis. This is the way you repay Hashem. Am navo, you low nation, v'leichachem, an unwise nation. So this is the first argument. You ask for a pledge when you are doing somebody a favor in order to make sure he will repay you. But when someone is doing you a favor, you have no excuse to ask for a pledge in addition to a favor. Hashem is in control of everything. So it's not proper to ask him for a pledge. Vasheini, a second argument, is to call him a kabel mashka mechaveir yeshli kitzul of akosha tichla. When you ask a pledge as security, there's a limit to it. There's a limited amount of time. So let's say you're selling merchandise that's worth $100, but I don't know you, so leave me your gold watch. And when you're ready to pay me, I'll give you back your watch. I know my merchandise is worth $100, and your watch is more or less approximate. So the arrangement makes sense. That arrangement makes sense. But let's say I don't know what I'm going to sell you, and you come and I say, leave your watch. What for? You know, let's say he's buying a box of toothpicks that costs $5. You can give me a watch that's worth $100 to guarantee the price of toothpicks, which is $5, $3. Or you may be buying a house full of furniture, so a watch wouldn't be good enough, right? The house is $100,000, a golden watch, $500,000. Golden watch is, let's say, $1,000. So it makes no sense. There's no limit to someone who has the security mentality. You don't know how much you need. What will you need? In other words, what are you saying to Hashem here exactly? Wait till I'm established, then I'll feel secure to start serving you, Hashem. How much do you need? $100,000? $10,000? $10 million? My great-grandchildren, when they're not married yet, I want to help them out too? In the Davar Seif. So Hashem will conclude, he'll never serve me. He's not really doing it for any right reason. Even if you have far more money than you need, you won't feel secure because the amount that you really need is hidden from you. And the measure is unknown of how long you're going to live. He's foolish what he's asking for. Besides, by the way, a lot of wealthy people have so much money that they could live 45 lifetimes over. So they have everything and they still don't serve Hashem. And they say, I want a guarantee for this, that, or the other thing. So the idea, again, is, and he's really trying to knock this in our head, is this type of bargain mentality with Hashem is not wise and it's foolish. And it should give us a certain humbleness here. There's no basis to ask Hashem for a pledge. Because number one, he is in control of everything. He owes you everything. You owe him everything. He has the power over you completely. He can give you anything he wants at any time. The idea that you could trust him regardless, you don't need pledges to trust him. And the idea of it's a totally unknown thing. You'll need things forever and ever and ever. So this idea, again, that people don't realize that they do this. They may not say it befeirish, but they say it in certain ways. Now, I do want to say, as a disclaimer to this, to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a bakasha for a menuchas hanefesh, let's say you're really struggling. You're struggling, you're worrying about bills, and you're behind in your rent, and you're behind in your phone bills, and you're behind in your things. To ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a bakasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. Help me have Yishuv Hadas. It's hard for me to learn. It's hard for me to do mitzvahs when I'm always worried about where the next penny is going to come from. It's hard for me to do mitzvahs even when I'm worried about even Tzarchei Shabbos and how I'm going to afford things or if my landlord is going to kick me out of the house and all of that things. All that. That makes sense and that's healthy. You ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're missing something. That's the etzem according to the Rambam. Ikar tefillah is when you're either having a tzara or you're having a lack and you ask Hashem to fulfill the lack and you're davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please help me. Please help me. But the idea of putting a demand, like a business deal, I'm not serving you. I'm not putting on tefillin or davening shachris, you know. First, provide me what I need for whatever amount of time. Right? So that is the foolishness and the arrogance. So we have to make this distinction here, even though it doesn't say it befeirish over here, a bakasha in a humble way to ask Hashem and have bitachon and rely on him and be mavakish from him to make it, to be marchiv you, your das. And it says you need a dira nah and a good apartment and you need money to be marchiv your das, to have yishuv das. Yes. You ask Hashem to help you with that. But here we're talking about something else. Even in those situations, you try your best. You're still davening and being over Hashem, and you're trying, and you're saying, Hashem, I'm trying, but it's hard. It's hard for me to focus, but I'm putting in the effort. I'm trying. But this idea of putting a demand on Hashem, you fork over this, otherwise I'm not doing that, that is where it's foolish and unhealthy. And we have to uproot it from the consciousness of our mind and even from our subconscious. Bracha v'hatzlacha to all. And again, like he says, a lot of people don't like to hear this type of thing because number one, either you'll say, yeah, this is, you know, I know this, of course not, or whatever it is, but it really needs to be put into our mind that we should not have this type of attitude of seeking pledges from Hashem. Bracha v'atzlacha.